Vladimir Nabokov, author of Lolita, was a remarkable man in many ways. And the story goes that when he was a toddler, Nabokov looked at his wooden alphabet blocks and he said that the colours were all wrong. The colours on the blocks didn't match the letters printed on them. Not in his mind, anyway. Nabokov had a really interesting condition called synesthesia. Synesthesia essentially means that your senses become kind of intermingled. In some people, it means that letters and numbers have colours. In rarer cases, a synesthete hears a word and actually gets a specific taste sensation.
Somebody will come in, they then order, say, a pint of that. I get the bacon rind taste. They then order a packet of roasted nuts. I don't get roasted nuts, I get some sort of peculiar burnt meat taste. They then pay with a fiver, from which I get a taste of strawberry jam sandwiches. Very, very specific. I then have to give them the change. Change invariably tastes of processed cheese.
That's James Wonerton, a synesthete who runs a pub in the UK, and he's talking on a BBC documentary called Derek Tastes of Earwax. Synesthesia is a neurological condition, but it's not really a disorder at all. In fact, in the case of Tori Spooner, I'm really envious of her magic ability to fuse colour with numbers and words and dates on the calendar. Tori is a professional violinist, and one day she heard me saying on this program how I'd love to talk to someone who was a synesthete, and here she is. Hi, Tori.
Hi.
I've got an interesting birth date. I was born on a Black Friday, a Friday the 13th. Now, when someone says Black Friday, that's not a Black Friday to you, is it? What is it?
It's Yellow Friday.
It's Yellow Friday. I like that more. That's a bit more cheerful than Black Friday.
Yeah, I've never understood Black Friday. I mean, partly because I'm not superstitious, but also because Friday is not black. Sunday is black.
Sunday's black.
Yep.
Sunday's black.
Yeah.
And the 13, what colour is that?
Well, it's made up of 1 and 3. So it's black and red.
So it's yellow, black and red, really, Friday the 13th
in your mind. Your birthday would be those colours, yeah.
And when you see something like Black Friday, or you see Friday in black instead of yellow, does that seem really wrong to you?
Yes, very wrong, very confusing.
Is it like it's sort of dressed in the wrong clothes, or is it being someone it shouldn't be?
It's not so much personified. It's more that it's like you've said the wrong thing. It's like saying Friday is Thursday. You can't say Friday is Thursday because Friday is Friday. So
it's infuriating then, isn't it, when people say Black Friday?
It's something that took a while for me to probably be comfortable with. And I remember as a child being quite confused and a little bit irked sometimes, like feeling really uncomfortable when people would say things that just didn't click.
Now, from 1 through to 9 and 0 as well, you've got a specific colour you associate with each of those numbers. Take me through the colours you associate with each number.
Okay, well, 1 is usually black, but it can be red or, in rare cases, white, depending on the context. So 2 is a dark kind of royal blue. 3 is a reddish, sort of bright red. 4 is definitely green. 4 is very strong. 5 is a yellowy orange, warm yellow. 6 is a greeny blue. 7 is more of a maroon red, a darker, deeper red. 8 is a blue again, but bit different to 2, depending on the context. 9 is definitely a brighter yellow, and 0 is black.
Right. Now, there's two things I get from that. One is how specific those colours are. You know, when we normally, when people who aren't synesthetes assign a colour to someone, they go, well, 1 is red, 2 is blue, 3 is... But you're really specific about the colours there.
Yes.
And the other thing I noticed from what you were saying is that some things are stronger than others.
Yeah, I think 4 is really strong for me because I was born in April. That's the fourth month. So 4s have always stood out really strongly to me, and they're definitely green. Like, it's just never changes. Always green.
How about days of the week? Do they have a different colour?
Yeah, they do. Yep. They're kind of the same, actually. So Monday is red. Tuesday's blue. Wednesday is a warm yellow, kind of like 5. And Thursday is green. Again, the fourth day and the fourth colour. Fourth colour. There I am. I have to be careful. Friday is bright yellow. Like a sunny kind of yellow. Saturday has no fixed colour. It changes according to what's going on. And Sunday's black.
I guess, as you said, the fourth colour there, I get the feeling that you would actually speak a different kind of language if you could, really, except that you have to make yourself understood by the rest of us, really.
I can't believe I just said that, actually, because I'm usually really careful with what words I choose. And now that we're really talking about it, I really genuinely got mixed up. That's funny.
Yeah, but that's how you probably would normally talk if you could make other people see the world the same way you do.
Yeah, definitely.
When you say they have a colour, does that mean when you see the number on a letterbox or something, that you see that colour superimposed on top of it?
Not physically with my eyes. I know the reality of that would be, say, black colours on a letterbox, but in my mind, they're definitely tinged, yeah.
Synesthetes were once thought to be delusional, you know, years and years ago.
Yeah, I heard that.
Now that it's understood. But synesthetes, they're not delusional. You know that Black Friday... that it should be yellow, but you know that when you see it written in black, it is black, don't you? That's the difference.
Yeah. I don't actually see the word Friday written in yellow, and particularly if it's Friday the 13th, I don't see a colour on it with my eyes. I don't hallucinate colours. I don't physically see anything different. It's all in the mind's eye.
Is there an emotional attachment to those colours? Like commonly we have this kind of an idea that there's an emotional attachment to colour. Like most people associate blue with coolness, red with warmth and the like. You know, when a body is blue, it's often dead and inanimate, and that's a sad thing, and that's why we maybe associate blue with melancholy. When it's red, we associate that with vitality and passion. Do you see it that way? Do you associate colours with feelings?
Not with feelings, not with emotions or personality, but I know a lot of synesthetes do. But for me, that's not the case. But I have noticed through analysing it that all my even colours are cool colours, and all my even numbers and all my odd numbers.
I just like the way you said that too.
Yeah, I
all
know.
All my even numbers are cool colours.
Wow.
Numbers are colours then.
Yeah. They just are. They just are. So all my odd numbers are all warm colours. And if I think about that, all the even numbers and colours feel quite soft and rounded, and all the odds, being the warm colours, feel quite spiky and kind of squared off.
Here we come to the most interesting aspect of your synesthesia, which is the way you see time and the calendar.
Mm.
When you see time and the calendar, what kind of an image do you have in your head?
It's like a ladder. So there's a continual line going from like a diagonal right up, and that's the future, and I'm in the middle, and the past is to the left and down from me. When it's all built up with things that I've put in there in my calendar, it looks like a cityscape. So all the different heights of the towers and things, and if I have more going on one day, it's a higher tower, and it has a darker tone to it. But there's no colours in my brain calendar. I call it my brain calendar.
You've done us the service of doing a drawing of this calendar that's in your head as best you could. This really did your head in, didn't it, this drawing?
It took me about 2 hours to draw it. I've never drawn it before. I tried once and it was ridiculous. So the difficulty in drawing it is that it's a constantly flowing thing. It's constantly moving because, I mean, I'm always constantly moving, and I'm always thinking about what's happening in the future and what happened in the past and what am I doing later today. So
are you like someone on a kind of moving walkway at the airport? You know, those
yeah,
moving
it's a little
walkways?
Bit like that. Yeah.
Moving back and forward. It's moving forward, but you can walk down it nonetheless.
Except I don't walk or slide along like on one of those walkways. I am kind of floating, like gravity-less. It's quite nice, actually. If I have to go up to the future and check out a date or check out an event, I'm essentially weightless, and I can sort of like scramble up this ladder.
How far?
As far as I need to.
And that's like months into the future, or?
Oh yeah, easily.
Years.
So yep.
And can you see landscapes on significant dates years and years and years into your future?
Yep. So if I look up to the next few years, I can very easily see Christmas standing out at the end of each year, like a little. Like a little tower at the end of each block.
You very kindly brought this drawing in, and we'll put a picture of it up on our website, abc.net.au/conversations. And it's a fascinating drawing. I could actually stare at this for hours. And what I'm looking at is a really finely drawn diagonal ladder, as you say, or a conveyor belt that stretches from the bottom left-hand corner to the top right-hand corner of a two-page book. And there are these skyscrapers that stick up on these various rungs of these ladders. And so today, you've got today there as a big black tower. And is that because we're talking to you today?
Yeah, because I'm doing something today.
You're doing something today. and yesterday is much shorter.
I didn't do much then.
Except do this drawing.
Yeah, so it's got a little bit of a tower because I spent some time on this. And I cleaned up the backyard a bit.
But given that you had to draft it today, but draw it as though it was being drawn today.
Oh.
So you had to draw it one day into the future. Was that easy or a difficult thing for you?
No, massively difficult. So on this drawing, I've obviously drawn in little arrows pointing to the blocks and what, you know, a little description of that day. But in my head, that's not there. There's no words or numbers or there's nothing. It's just blocks. The words that I had written yesterday were as though I was talking about it today. So it really did my head in. Like, I was really confused.
What I'm looking at, the blocks are really interesting. Like this today, which is a big black block. And black doesn't mean negative, as you say. It just means a busy and important day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's smart shorter. Mm-hmm. In the past, I can see a taller block for New Year's Eve. Another one where you remember the anniversary of the death of your father, all these things. So that pegs out way into the future then, these anniversaries.
It's probably why I can remember birthdays really easily. I don't have to remember the date. I just remember where it is in the year. I just remember physically where it is.
How many other forms of synesthesia are you aware of that exist? Because yours is one form. There are others, aren't there?
I know, obviously, we heard before the clip with the man that tastes things, and I have nothing like that. I've heard of people that can hear a word and sense a colour, or can see a written word and smell a particular smell. And so all the senses are sort of, I don't know, crossing over somewhere, and they've joined up. And apparently there's some evidence now, there's some research being done that's showing that there are actually physical regions in the brain responsible for things like colour perception and other senses that do work together. We don't know why.
No. I don't know. It sometimes occurs to me that the thing that makes us human is language. You know, we have consciousness and we can think because we have language, because we can tell stories. And you don't have language without metaphor. It's metaphor that allows us to think in terms of language.
Yep.
Sometimes I think that synesthesia is a kind of higher form of thinking in a way. It's almost like a superpower. Do you see it that way?
No. I don't feel like I have any advantage over anybody or I'm benefiting from it really in any way. I mean, I can remember birthdays from primary school friends. I mean, that's not an advantage. That's just kind of annoying. I mean, yesterday it was one of my old high school friend's 32nd birthday, and I haven't talked to her in about 16 years.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, so I don't think I have a superpower. No.
We're talking about months and dates of the year. How about time on a clock? How do you see time on a clock?
Time on a clock for me is very visual. I always read an analog watch or an analog clock because if I read a digital one, I have to translate it to analog anyway because I see it physically and visually. Today, for example, I have a physical picture of the clock face in my mind and say this interview time, this conversation time is sort of shaded out. When I woke up this morning, it was shaded up to when I woke up. So then I had some time at home and that was a different block on the clock face. Now, I really think that other people do this all the time.
Well, I think we kind of do, but it's just much, much, much foggier.
Okay.
I think we have this kind of idea of what's coming up, and it's sort of, and it's much less literal. I mean, I don't see a clock. I kind of have an idea of what's coming up in the day, and I know that hour will be busy and that hour won't, but I don't have anything like a radial clock face in my head that's shaded out. Tell me about when you started to make these associations.
When I think back, I can remember feeling the same things that I can feel now, so I know that it's been with me all my life. But it wasn't till only a few years ago that I realised that not everybody was thinking this way. So to me, it was just me sorting through normal thought process. It's actually hard for me to think of specific stories or examples from when I was a child because...
Just the way it is.
Yeah, it's not anything amazing to me. It's just the way that I am. It's just the way that I think. It enables me to comprehend. But I think I learned pretty early on to keep it to myself. I knew my colours were mine, and I don't remember when I figured it out, but I assumed until I was an adult that everybody's colours were different to mine. So I shut up about it because I thought there's no point getting into discussions about what colour one is because my colour's mine, and that's cool, that's me, and everybody else may have a different colour, and that's their colour, and that's fine as well. And so it wasn't until I was about 24 or 25 or something that I realised that people, on the whole, really don't have colours.
Tori Spooner is my guest in conversation. Tori is a professional violinist. She teaches violin as well as performs it. And she's a synesthete, which means she has synesthesia. But what it really means is people whose senses are kind of intermingled and they associate colour and taste with words or numbers. So, Tori, how did you went along for years and years thinking this was normal of yourself?
I think it is normal, isn't it?
In your mind, yes. But when did you realise that you were part of that interesting kind of subset of people that we call synesthetes?
Well, the first memory I have is when my mum, who's a piano teacher, told me that she had told a student of hers to play a certain piece of music. And he said, "Great, I'm glad you said that because that's a green piece and today's a green day." And she told me this that night or something, saying, "Oh, what an interesting story. What a funny thing for him to say." And I thought, yeah. And I said to mum, "Yes, I completely understand this. What's the problem here?" So that's the first time that anyone, including me, thought that something was interesting about it. I didn't really think about it much after that. I think mum and I just maybe put it down to one of my quirks and kind of moved on.
How about a specific, I don't know if diagnosis is the right word either. I don't even know. It's one of those conditions that completely, I don't know if condition's the right word. It seems kind of boring and medical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But when did you realise, though, that you were part of a larger group of people that call themselves synesthetes?
Well, after the conversation with mum, I think probably a couple of years went by and I had another conversation with my partner about a phone number, and we were trying to remember a phone number, and I said, "Yes, I know it's this number because it starts with black, green, red, green." And a hilarious conversation followed of much confusion, and I said, "I know I'm right because I know the numbers and I know there's colours." And in fact, I just said it again. I said numbers and I meant colours. And I can't believe it's happening. It's happening. That's how I really started thinking that, hey, other people don't have colours for numbers, because I was the only one in the conversation that did. So, yeah, a little bit after that, I had another conversation with some friends, and there was about four or five of them standing around marvelling at my story. And I thought, hang on, what? why doesn't anybody else have colours? And I think I probably went onto the internet and discovered it's a thing.
Nabokov's mother and his son were also synesthetes. Is there synesthesia elsewhere in your family?
Well, apparently there is. I didn't know this until very recently, but my mum told me that she has colours for her days of the week.
Aha!
I know.
And different or same as you?
I can't remember what she told me, but they were fairly similar, come to think of it. She also had cool colours for her even days, which were Tuesday, Thursday, and her odd days, which I'm saying it again, warm colours, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I'm getting it all mixed up now.
You know what you're like? You're like the only person in the room who's you speak English and French. You're the only person in the room who's bilingual, and French keeps lapsing into your language. That's what it's like.
I can't believe it.
And we don't understand.
Yeah, I know, it's so funny. I've never talked about it in this way. I'm nearly 32 and I've never had a conversation like this about it. So it's really interesting for me to hear my own mouth say the wrong word when I'm thinking what I think is correct. So it's really crazy.
There is no better illustration
of
what synesthesia is and what you're doing.
And I'm sure if people are going to be hearing this, there's going to be synesthetes out there thinking, yes, yes, yes. Or similarly, people out there thinking two is not blue. They'll be confused.
Yes,
I know.
This woman's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. It's purple. Everyone knows that.
Yes. Although I have heard that, in fact, I've seen a few resources that have told me that quite commonly the letter A is red. And it is for me. So there's some commonality there. Who knows why? Don't know.
I can't help but notice, I mentioned Nabokov, who was a novelist. You're a musician. Is it common that synesthetes are creative people or they have some kind of an artistic life?
I have heard that a lot of synesthetes are creative people. I have also heard something that suggested that a lot of people that are in creative careers or are immersed in creativity in their lives, a high percentage of those people do experience synesthesia in some way. No one really knows. There's going to be people that hear me speaking about this that realise that it's a thing, like I did a few years ago. And there's going to be people that know about it and have never told anybody about it. So I think the numbers of whoever has synesthesia in whatever form or whatever depth are almost impossible to tell, because, I mean, why would you come forward with this information when it feels completely natural?
It seems to me that all of us have a kind of synesthesia in the way we relate to music. I mean, music is so abstract. It's not often, it's not literal at all. And yet certain kinds of music, for no apparent obvious symbolic reason can make us feel a certain way. We have feelings and ideas and often colours associated with bits of music. Maybe what you've got is just a much broader application of that. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I know. I mean, I know. It's just the thought has just occurred to me that there is no reason why we would associate all sorts of things with musical feelings, but we do. It's a really common thing.
The funny thing is that a lot of the people that are known to be synesthetes are famous musicians, and I'm obviously a musician, and I don't have it at all with music.
You don't see it. You don't get colours with music?
Not at all.
When people talk in that way about music, do you understand?
I understand it. Yep. And I understand that a piece can make you feel blue, or that there's quite a vibrant piece that may invoke vibrant colours, but then that's different. That I think that's associating a colour with something that feels familiar. But with synesthesia, it's involuntary. It's not that I associate four with green, it's that it is green. It has the same meaning.
The publican I played earlier, who has a taste sensation associated with all sorts of words, the research into it shows that the foods and tastes and flavours that he associates with certain words seem to be all from his childhood. They're like kiddie foods you eat as a young child. Mm. So do you think you made these associations with colours and numbers at the earliest possible age?
Yeah, I think I must have. I couldn't have been born with this, because when you're born you don't have a concept of numbers and letters and colours. So it must have been something that I created, but it was early enough that I have no memory of creating it. I have no recollection of consciously thinking about associating a number and a colour or creating my brain calendar. It's just always been there. I think it was just my way of coming up with an interpretation of information I was being given.
A map of reality.
Mm-hmm.
This timeline you've drawn, you're going across these two pages here, really that's like a map of reality as well. It's a kind of self-invented structure for the universe.
Yeah.
And what happens when you don't check in on that timeline
of yours?
I'm
lost. Totally lost. I forget things. I forget what I'm doing. Sometimes I know that there's something, but I don't know what it is, because I see a block, but I have no idea what it is. So I have to be careful when I'm putting a something in my calendar, because I have to remember what that thing is.
Right, otherwise you're moving to a big black monolith and you don't know what it is.
Yep.
So when you have that map clear in your head, do you find you experience much less anxiety then?
Yeah, I feel much more in control of my life. I mean, that is the control of my life. I mean, I recently forgot a phone conversation and I knew it was coming up, but then I'd failed to put it in my calendar. And I sort of thought, oh, something's coming up, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what time it was. And I didn't know what was going on because I didn't put it in.
As a teenager, you were diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
Do you see this? Is there any possible connection there, do you think? Or is that just a coincidence, do you think?
Look, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was related, because with ADD, there are so many challenges in regards to cognition. There's so many challenges when it comes to receiving information, whether it be visual or audio, and really, really comprehending that clearly in the mind. It comes in a different way and it bounces around in your head in a different way until you fully get it. So I think it could be a way for me to have coped better.
You're obviously extremely bright. I hope you don't mind me saying that. Does this mean, with the way you look at the world, does that mean you had like extremely high marks, or does it mean the sideways way you looked at the world meant you could never get extremely high marks?
I was a bit of a contrast. I always did really well in the humanities. I did really well with English, creative writing, music, all the artistic stuff. And with maths, I was just a disaster. And that's another reason why I think it might have been a coping thing. Maybe I came up with the numbers and the colours because that was harder for me to understand. And it was easier for me to visualise it.
So colours are more strongly associated with numbers for you?
Yes.
Than they are for words?
Yes, definitely. I don't really have it with words or letters much at all.
It's there, but it's weaker.
Mm-hmm. For me, the biggest challenges consistently through my whole life have been mathematics and time management and scheduling. Those are the areas that have the strongest synesthesia for me.
How easy was it to discover that there are other people like you out and about in the world?
Very difficult.
Even with the internet?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said before, I didn't think there was anything to talk about. I didn't think there was anything that was worthy of mentioning, because I just thought that everyone had their own colours and I had my colours and so be it. But I had a few conversations in recent years that sort of twigged a little bit and made me question what was going on. And then as time has gone by, It's become quite apparent. I'm the only person I know that thinks like this. I know there are other synesthetes around, but I haven't met anybody else.
Do you enjoy your synesthesia?
Enjoy, I think, is an irrelevant word, because it's not that I go, yes, two is blue. It's that two is blue because that's how I understand. So I don't understand how people without the colours, I don't know how you understand stuff. Like, it's just, it's beyond me how people can understand the letter 7 without also sensing the colour of maroon. I don't know how you get through life. How do you do it? I don't know.
I don't know either, now that you put it that way. Tutorial, it's been great to meet you. Absolutely fascinating to speak with you. Thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast of Conversations with Richard Feidler. For more information and interviews, visit abc.net.au/conversations.